Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that gets down to, what does the Bible teach, Old Testament and New Testament? How does God want us to live? Every word that you find in the Bible here was inspired or spoken by God. And the men who wrote the Bible were faithful men. Because the first argument that people say is, well, it was written by men. Well, were they all in prison, convicted criminals? Or were they righteous men? Did they love God and fear Him? Were they led of the Holy Spirit of God to write and say what we need to know? Because this Bible, which God has sent into the whole world, as we discussed in the last segment, are the words of God. And even Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the things that I write to you, they are the commandments of the Lord. Now, why is it then that people, and even religious people, do not want to follow the commandments of God? Well, it's because the natural mind that we have, which the Bible calls the carnal mind. Now, what is the carnal mind? The carnal mind is the mind that you were born with. And the carnal mind wants to do things its own way. That's why, as all parents will know, child rearing is really difficult. And especially living in the world that we have today, it's set up for evil. And why does that appeal to so many people? Because of the carnal mind. And why don't they like to hear the word of God? Because of the carnal mind. Why do they do the things that cause problems of lying and cheating and stealing and committing murder? Because of the carnal mind. Why do we have crime? Why do we have divorce and remarriage? Why do we have people's lives today, especially, all upside down? Because of the carnal mind. Now let's read it here in Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it's hostile to God. It's an enemy of God. It is contrary to God. And the carnal mind does not have the Spirit of God. Now, we're not going to get into things concerning conversion. We have many other segments that you can follow along on Church at Home. And these are to instruct you in the beginnings of the Word of God. But the first thing you need to understand concerning the way that we think as human beings is this. You don't like the laws and commandments of God. And most religionists do not either. Oh, they profess that they want. They profess to be good. But we're going to put them to the literal test here in a little bit. And we've set up societies which are secular. Yes, indeed. And we have religious societies like Islam. And Islam is a perfect example of human laws, demonic laws, and the lack of love based on hatred and killing. Now, other religions in varying degrees do the same thing. Now, the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Says it twice. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. And it says in Proverbs 21 that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. See, because we justify ourselves. Now, we justify ourselves also against God. That's why people say the laws of God have been abolished because they're not converted. They are carnal-minded. Now, they can be nice, but does being nice mean you're converted? Well, if they reject the commandments of God, are they really nice? Now, their behavior may not be criminal, but they're still carnal-minded. Now, let's come back here to Exodus 20, because we're going to continue on and ask the question, should we take the Bible literally? Well, let's begin with what is easy to understand and know that God spoke the Ten Commandments to at least 1.6 million Israelites that he brought out of Egypt, saved them from their bondage, saved them from the pagan religions of Egypt, and brought them to himself at Mount Sinai and proposed to them that he would be their God if they would love him and serve him. And he would also have them be a nation to take his word around the world to all people. And they said, yes, Lord, we'll do that. So then God came down on the top of Mount Sinai with a display of power and with the sound of a great trumpet that sounded long and loud, and then God personally spoke to every one of them gathered there for the special ceremony of receiving the Ten Commandments of God. And this was an awesome sight. So let's look and see what God says that he expects us to literally follow. Let's begin. Verse 1, Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Now you see, the first commandment, in its full measure, contains verses 2 and 3. Because verse 2 tells you God is the only one who can bring you out of sin, because sin and Egypt are compared to one another. And in the end time, God says that this whole world is compared to Sodom and Egypt, Sodom being the sexual mores of men, and Egypt being the religious mores of men. This is why, in the end time, there will be a one-world religion governed by Satan the devil, and a one-world government governed by him and all those who work for him. See? Now, think about this. You shall have no other gods before me. That means you don't have Buddha. You don't have Mohammed. You don't have the Pope. You don't have religious leaders. You don't have the pagan gods. You don't have Satan the devil. You don't have demons. You worship the true God of the Bible. That's the first commandment. Now, the second one always shows the worst of human beings. Now, if you've been a Catholic, I'm going to challenge you. You look at your catechism book as to their version of the Ten Commandments, and then you get the Catholic Bible, and you open it up to Exodus 20 to show you how hostile against the Word of God that the Catholic religion really is, and the way that it's taught by the hierarchy. In the catechism books, they eliminate the second commandment as stated in the Bible, but they retain it in their version of the Bible. At least someone was fearful of removing that commandment in the Bible. But the second commandment is the commandment that men like to violate more than anything else because they want to come and tell God what to do and what they will and will not do. In the form of religious idols, statues, pictures. So let's read it. Let's read the second commandment. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Let's stop right here and ask a question. What did God just say? He said, you shall not make. Why do all religions, and especially the Catholics, and a lot of Protestants, make crosses, crucifix, statues of idols, great paintings? Everything about St. Peter's Basilica is gross idolatry. From the inside out. Every single ritual that is performed is satanic and pagan. Now, every time a Catholic priest gets on a two-way talk show that talks about religion, someone always comes in and says, why do you worship idols? And they give the answer, well, we don't worship them. We venerate them. Well, is not veneration worship? But what is missing? What did they miss? God says, you shall not make for yourselves. Is that literal or not? Yes, indeed. All right, little sidebar here. Do a study on idolatry in the Bible, Old Testament, and New Testament, and you will see that that brings penalties of death and destruction and war. That's why God said don't do it. Because all idols are an open invitation to Satan and his demons to come and make their home here. Let's read on. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now let's stop and analyze this a little bit. Let's take this literally. Is God creator of heaven and earth? Yes, he is. Did he make everything that there is? Yes, he did. Did he make you and everything necessary for you to live on this earth with the other human beings that he has created? Yes, he did. If you make an idol, if you bow down to an idol, if you put them in your home, if you hang them on your wall, if you put them in your church, you hate God. what it says. Now, how far down does the penalty go? To the third and fourth generation. All right. Do a study of those nations that engage in idolatry. Read the history of them. Read what happened to them. And I'm telling you right now today, it's coming upon the world because of idolatry. They make idols, they idolize men, they idolize women. Oh, don't we have a television program called American Idol? Think about it. The carnal mind is enmity against God. God exacts punishment for sin. Now notice, verse 6 is actually New Testament doctrine. Right here in the second commandment, verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you love God and keep his commandments? Now, is that hard to understand? No, it isn't. Should we take it literally? Yes, we should. Now think about it. Look at it. Prove it. Examine lives. Examine the history of people and see, did God exact his punishment or not? Then you need to add to it that when you have idols, you're forsaking God. So also study forsaking God. Now, this is God speaking. He brought the people out, and the people want to know, oh, well, how can we receive God's blessings? He's telling you. Let's go on. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Everybody understands about cursing and swearing. However, very few look at those religious leaders who profess that they're speaking for God, but they're not. And if they profess they're speaking for God, are they taking his name in vain? Yes, indeed. And it's interesting that this third commandment comes just before the fourth commandment, and it's intended in that way, because in the fourth commandment becomes the second test commandment. The first one is, don't make any idols. The second one is the Sabbath day. Because God created the Sabbath day. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right, let's stop right there. How does God calculate time? Well, the Bible tells us from sunset to sunset, not from midnight to midnight. The Sabbath. A lot of people say, well, the church moved it to Sunday. Now, we've got a lot of books and booklets that you can get. And we have one right here. Which day is the true Christian Sabbath? Which day is the Lord's Day? It is not Sunday. And another booklet that you need to have, a Sabbath Sunday challenge you have never read. And I'll tell you what, every Sunday keeping church knows which day is the Sabbath because they keep Sunday. Don't they? And they call that the first day of the week. Now, men have also manipulated calendars to show Sunday as the seventh day of the week. Does that make Sunday the Sabbath because men manipulate calendars? No, it doesn't. That's a sleight of hand. The seventh day. Let's read it here. God created this time. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Let's stop right there. The seventh day is called Saturday today, though on some calendars they may show it as the sixth day. But they have changed the week and the cycle of the days. Notice something else. It belongs to God. Now, we've got a whole series that we've done on the Sabbath, so I'm not going to belabor the point here concerning the Sabbath day, except to say that the Sabbath day God created as a day from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown so that you can draw close to God, fellowship with other Christians. You can keep this day holy by not working, not doing your regular activities, by learning of God, by studying the Bible, by praying to Him, and that's how you're going to understand the literal application of the commandments of God. Let's go on. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. He owns it. Look at it this way. Whenever you use that day for yourself, you are stealing from God. Let's finish it here. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor the stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Now, let's come back to Genesis 2. Because God never did this for any other day except the holy days. Let's read it. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And by the beginning of the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, giving an example to Adam and Eve. Let's go on to verse 3 here now. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, that is, made it holy time by his presence. Now, likewise, if you keep the seventh day Sabbath from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, and you're worshiping and serving God his way by literally believing his word and literally obeying what he says, God's blessing will be upon you. That's why church at home. Because like one man wrote me, he quit going to his Sunday-keeping church because he was tired of the politics, he was tired of the messages that were given, he was tired of the whole thing because they didn't follow the Word of God. So what about you? Now let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to Mark, the second chapter. Let's see something very interesting, what Jesus said when there was a question concerning what his disciples were doing on the Sabbath day. After they were done questioning him and trying to bring out that, oh, well, because the disciples were not keeping the traditions of the Jews, therefore they were breaking the Sabbath. All right, notice. Verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Remember that. He is Lord, Creator, Blesser, Sanctifier. He made it. But because of the carnal mind, men want to change it to Sunday. And they think they can transfer everything from the Sabbath over to Sunday. They can't, because men are not God. God gave special blessings, special sanctifying, special making holy, the seventh-day Sabbath, and Jesus was the one who did it. And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and we are to literally take the Sabbath commandment of God, and we are to keep it holy by not doing our own things. Now, we have a whole segment, a whole series of segments going through the Sabbath. But let me ask you a question. With the first four commandments that we have covered, is there anything that is hard to understand? Is there anything that is difficult to comprehend? Now, I'm not talking about what ideas or objections you may have, but just listening to and following along what the Word of God says. Do you believe that we need to literally follow the Word of God? Do you believe that God is creator and maker of everything that there is? If you do, you will believe that we are to take these literally. If you don't want to take the commandments of God literally, then you are making yourself greater than God. Are you really greater than God? Is any man greater than God? Remember what God says about the one who says to his maker, "What are you making?" So yes, we are to literally keep the commandments of God. Well, we'll do a couple more segments on this, and we will see, beginning in the next one, the reason our societies are so upside down and backward is because, number one, we have left off the first four commandments, and number two, we have rejected all of the remaining six. So be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And so until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.